Well, good morning. It's Monday, January 11th, 2021. Today we're going to talk about God's Word concerning Himself. And we're going to assume this is part one, because I see a part two in our future down the road. So all of us should agree that the number one relationship in our lives is the spiritual fellowship we hold dear with our Heavenly Father. And today I want to address and consider aspects of building those strong connections, those relationship connections. Deep and lasting vows are established through genuine love, trust, and fidelity. In most relationships, there is an initiator and a responder. And of course, in God's relationships with mankind, He is the initiator and we are the responders. One of the names for God is Jehovah, and occurs around 6,800 times in the Bible. And the literal meaning is, I am. In the root word for Jehovah, the sense of self-existence is there. You know, God didn't come to be. He has always been. Being eternal, He had no beginning, and there is no end in sight, or out of sight. He's not ever going to end down the road further than we can even see. No end. Jehovah became known as the personal name for the true God. It identified the one true God above all the false gods. Because there is also, of course, the word Elohim for God. And the word Elohim, although it does refer to the true God, it's also used in scriptures to indicate angels, gods with a little g, false gods, and judges, goddesses, and there's other translations for Elohim. But with Jehovah, not so. It always refers to the one true God. It is really a personal relationship with the God above any and all others. Throughout the Word, God extends a complete bio, if you will, of Himself. His love is perfect and perfecting. And that's according to love's description in 1 Corinthians 13. Every passage of Scripture, either directly or indirectly, assures us that He is trustworthy. His fidelity is on every page. He will never betray His relationship with us. And in a relationship of this caliber, we feel welcome. We feel warmed. You know, we feel on top of the mountain. We feel safe being the object of God's affection. And really, even the most cynical heart can miraculously blossom from the care of our Heavenly Father. And where people have put walls around their hearts in the presence of God's love, they can fall faster than the walls at Jericho. Where there are strongholds that have strangled the life out of folks, the bondage can be broken apart by God's abiding care. You know, when someone tells you that they think of you every day and remember you in prayer, how snug and sheltered does that make you feel? You know, the thoughts and care of others, they do nourish our soul life. They make us just feel preserved. They make us feel, well, sheltered. We experience a sense of security and well-being when we know we are loved. You think of it with children. They're just so safe. Mom, dad around, man, nothing's going to happen. And of course, when we're aware that others genuinely care for our lives, it's even more so, especially when we know their care is genuine and pure. So it really is, when you consider just human relationships, the success, the failures, the strengths, the weaknesses, it's worthwhile to consider the words God speaks concerning Himself and how that designs or orchestrates our relationship back and forth. And over the next few weeks, we'll continue to look at scriptures God gave us to define his nature and show us the quality of his heart. You know, when someone asks us, who is God anyway? Our mind should be flooded with who he is. We could keep them busy for days on end telling them just who God is. It should far exceed us being able to say, oh, God is love. God is light. I mean, when you read in the Old Testament the declarations that God made of himself, they are overflowing with detail about every aspect of our lives and his desire for us. And, you know, to enjoy any kind of relationship, trust is a central issue. And trust issues are valid. God addressed these early on in his intention with humankind. Straightforward and flat out, he tells us who he is, and he openly communicates the intentions of his heart. And we're not going to read a lot of verses today. You have the wherewithal to take your Bible and begin to read. Even if you go onto an online Bible and you put in the word God, or you go to your book concordance and look up God, you will be reading for the year on things that God has declared of himself. So we may not be, I just want to stir your minds today on a lot of things about your relationship, our relationship with our Heavenly Father. But he so openly communicates the intentions of his heart. You know, in Psalms alone, you talk about trustworthiness of God. In Psalms alone, almost 50 times, trusting in God is the exhortation. And in addition, it also cites the blessings that follow. God has pledged his fidelity to believers in every administration, even when they are unfaithful in their relationship to him, where, you know, they would run to God in time of trouble and then get seduced off to worshiping other gods. And then trouble would arise and they would run to the true God. And it was just a cycle back and forth, back and forth. But even through all those, God did not change. He did not retaliate. He's constant. With him, there's no shadow of turning. There's not even a smidgen of darkness or ill content toward our well-being, whether we exercise fidelity in our relationship with him or not. He is so loving, kind, forgiving. While forgivable and healable, infidelity can deal a death blow to the heart of a relationship. Honoring our commitment to love and serve the one true God with loyalty, faithfulness, and fidelity pleases the heart of God. And you know, so often relationships are desirable based on us hearing of someone's reputation, that it's good, that they're a wonderful person. Or maybe we meet them and their personality is very appealing and it's one that we enjoy being around. Or maybe similar interests. Maybe there's a sports interest or a hobby. But who is this individual down deep inside? Their behavior may appear one way, but their intentions of their heart another. And there can be serious disappointments and even heartbreak in what lies beneath. But it is not that way with God because of all the things he has assured us of in his word concerning himself. And in talking with people about trusting God over the years, many people, they're really hard about it. Many people feel abandoned and they choose to fend for themselves because their experiences in life have shown that they have nowhere to go. And they have no one to trust. They've just proven it over and over in life. And as a result, they've just become hardened that that's the way life is. It's really heartbreaking to see them deceived by their own erroneous perceptions, of course, that they are all alone in life. And they just are overwhelmed and feel they have no one to trust. But God assures us that we can safely have confidence in Him. He is faithful at all times. Deuteronomy 7:9, the wonderful verse. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. You know, when we think of God, what are we thinking? Do we think you've made life too hard? Do we blame Him for our lack of trust, our circumstances? Or do we simply not think too much about it at all as to who He really is? And that's one of the goals that we have for this year, is to have a crystal clear concept. God is spirit, yes, but we want to have a definitive in mind. We want to know who He is. We want to be highly defined so that we can see it, we can hear it, we can taste it, we can touch it, we can acknowledge it with our five senses, even though it is spiritual. We can cling to that. He has given us an abundance of declarations about Himself. And additionally, when you read throughout the Word, we read testimonies of many men and women who have concluded that God is all the things that He says He is. His Word is ever present, so at any time, we can feed our thoughts and thereby grow our hearts to move forward in our vow to respect the most awesome relationship ever available. I think Psalm 34 speaks really beautifully of this. It starting in verse 3, the King James says of verse 3, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together." And that word magnify, it means to grow, to promote, to make powerful, to make great. So we magnify, we promote it, we grow it. We take those steps to respond. And exalt his name together simply means that we set His name on high. Let the Word speak to your heart about Himself. Let your thoughts dwell on who He is and what He does. I do want to read Psalm 34, starting in verse 3, but I want to read it from the Young's Literal, because they do put in the word Jehovah. And being that covenant God, let's read that. "Ascribe ye greatness to Jehovah with me, and we exalt His name together. I sought Jehovah, and He answered me, and from all my fears did deliver me. They looked expectingly unto Him, and they became bright, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor one called, and Jehovah heard, and from all his distresses saved him. A messenger of Jehovah," and that speaks of an angel, "is encamping round about those who fear him or respect him, and he armeth them. Taste ye and see that Jehovah is good. Oh, the happiness of the man who trusteth in him. Fear or respect Jehovah. Be in awe, ye holy ones. For there is no lack to those fearing him. Young lions have lacked and been hungry, and those seeking Jehovah lack not any good." Well, you know, after all these bold declarations, think of this: deliver me from my fears, uplift my countenance so I'm not ashamed, save me from all distresses, even angels when necessary, happiness for trusting in him, and no lack for any good thing. So if there's any good thing, there is no lack of it. That's a lot of good stuff, and it's almost too good to be true. And I was thinking the other day how, oh gosh, with the Christmas season, and all the scams that have been going on, particularly with everybody being indoors so much, they've kind of rang the alarm. And the statement has gone out, if a deal sounds too good to be true, it probably is. And I thought, you know what? That is really a devilish cliche. So we want to believe the word, because this word of God sounds too good to possibly be true. But we know with God, all things are possible. His hope, his promise is woven in the fabric of every single situation in life. And I think of Abraham in Genesis 17:1. He certainly seemed to be in an impossible situation. Abraham was an old man without children, but God told him that he would multiply his seed and that he would be the father of many nations. Now, imagine being 99 years old and hearing that, and you don't have any children. Verse 1 says, and when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord, Jehovah, appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect, or be upright in your conduct. You know, no one can be upright in their conduct without God. Even if their conduct is exemplary, their heart has to be face to face with God. That relationship has to be there. The word Almighty here means the most powerful. No power ever to exceed Almighty God. All he speaks of, he has the power to do. So hundreds of times in the word, God speaks of himself that he is the Lord our God. And here's a very sweet scripture. Exodus 6:7. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. You know, how intimate is that? How personal, how beckoning. And this is a great example of God bringing people out of their imprisonments, their oppressions, their bondage. In Malachi, it is recorded that God does not change. And among other verses, Numbers 23:19 tells us that God cannot lie. And Deuteronomy 7:9 says God is faithful. Hundreds of times God says of himself, I am the Lord your God. So as we read verses, you know, you can look up Lord our God, Lord thy God, whatever. How will this knowledge affect how we think of the Lord our God? Well, think of how wonderful information like of this nature would affect any other relationship you have. Wouldn't it nourish it? Wouldn't it strengthen it? Wouldn't you revel in the health of it, the beauty of it? Of course. In Exodus 34:6, speaking of Moses with God, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. See there, he talks about who he is, how he feels about things. Look at those attributes. This is a quality relationship. What heart and desire with the supreme mighty one who can carry out his will. In Leviticus 26:13, I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that you should not be their bondmen, and I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you to go upright. So yes, these verses speak about a day and a time, but the truth is, God has not changed. His eternal nature and his will remain. Literally or figuratively, these verses are alive, and the nature of God they project are in play every second of every day. God has put his characteristics flat out on the line. The Word of God states his attributes in so many various ways. As we increase our awareness of the scriptures, where God makes himself known, our mental comprehension will develop, and our understanding will abound through the work of the Holy Spirit. In searching scriptures to identify the nature of God, aren't we simply desiring to know God better? What is he like? What does he think? What does he do? Of course, we're not going to know everything about God. We understand that. But do we know how much of himself he has already made known in his own words? We're not asking the neighbor down the street. We're not asking someone who once loved and worshiped him. We can read what he actually says. That we can know. As we read last week about the word study, that's in 2 Corinthians 2:15, that word, when it speaks of the brevity of time, it means let's get to it. Don't delay, get on it. Then once in the scriptures, take all the time you need. Bask in it. Take all the time you need to build your heart to trust in the Lord your God. It is a relationship worthy of our full attention and our allegiance. Based on God's word, we can accurately and truly conclude that every issue, every problem in life has been addressed by God himself and can be resolved through trusting in his mighty power. And you know, that is why expanding our prayers to include our heart's cry for spiritual understanding is so important. And it really does bring so much hope. God is very open in his communications. We spoke earlier, his love is perfect. It's perfecting. He is trustworthy. He is faithful to his relationship with us. So we study to see how he has initiated these powerful spiritual relationships. So we should pray for him to enlighten the eyes of our understanding. It really is a lot to think about. So this is just some thoughts along the lines of God's Word Concerning Himself, Part 1. And when I teach again, Part 2 will come along. God bless you and have a fantastic week.